You are listening to the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast, the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Here's your host, Tyus France.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Libertarian, the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast. I'm not even going to edit that. We're going to keep moving on. I am your host, Tyus France. This is the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Nevada. So all things Nevada, all things political, all of that's covered on this show. Sitting across from me, as always, is my co-host Alex. Thanks for being here, bud.
Thanks for having me, Tyus.
And today we're going to be talking a little bit about diversity. Specifically, there was some stuff in the news around Google and a diversity memo that went out where a gentleman named James Damore, I believe, is how his name is pronounced. I could be getting that wrong. He basically put out a memo, and it said in it that, well, it said a lot of things. Several things piss people off, several things others disagree with, and I figured we should cover a little bit of that. So I'm just going to jump right in. I'm just going to jump right in and talk a little bit about it. So the gist of this memo was that it talks about how certain people are genetically genetically suited for certain things over other people. One thing that was mentioned is that men are often found more in technology because they value things more than relationships, while women often value relationships over things. And now, that's not something that he came to a conclusion of based off of opinion. That was something that he cited as science. They did some studies, and he cited that. People freaked out because he basically said that men and women are different. And maybe more importantly, he said that maybe women shouldn't have as big of a role here at Google. So people freaked out. Feminists jumped at him. Everybody jumped at him, and Google fired him. So there's lots of interesting angles to look at this from. One angle is that Google has the right to hire or fire anyone they want for any reason, which I couldn't agree with more. That is absolutely true, and it's something that while there's a lot of people that are on James's side in this, they have to remember that if you're talking about freedom, that's not just freedom for James to say what he wants to say. It's also the freedom for a business to do what they want to do. They're definitely within their rights. Apparently, James wrote this memo while on company time. Not that that really matters. They have the right to fire him at any point. But on the other hand of this, is literally I pulled this quote out of the diversity memo where James said, people should be treated as individuals. And that's what it ultimately comes down to. So when he was classifying women in one group and men in another group, and if you look at races in one group or people of a certain socioeconomic status in another group, really all you're getting into is classifying people, right? And racism is nothing more than just classifying people and saying everybody in that group falls within this range. And it's wrong. It's always wrong. It's always inaccurate unless you get down to the individual, unless you get down to that individual thing of it, each person is unique. So as a whole, he might be accurate in saying that women are not interested in things as much as they are in relationships. He might be accurate on a group level, a large perspective. But when you talk about the individuals that are working for Google or at Microsoft or Apple or any other place, it's very hard to say, well, you're a woman, you must be this way. You must fall into this classification. What is it? Milton Friedman had a really, really good quote about racism being nothing more than collectivism, that it's just a form of collectivism, that you're just grouping everybody together. So I don't know where you stand on this. I personally think that he has the right to have any belief he wants to, and Google is within their right to act upon it or not act upon it. But the end result, what people seem to be pushing toward here, is to enact regulation, saying you need to force people, you need to force Google, or you need to force these companies into hiring a diverse group of people. And that's really, really flawed. So if you were to say, well, about half of the population is women, so about half of Google's employees must be women, that's fine if you get enough applicants and you have enough women that want to apply for Google. But if you don't, the idea that you're forcing those people into that position, or you're really forcing Google to hire people that might be less qualified, that's a real problem. And it doesn't seem like that big of an issue, right? It seems like, well, if you've got so many Indian people and so many black people and so many white people, why shouldn't Google's employee base be accurately represented within that? Well, let's take it to a different type of business. Let's look at the NBA, for example. The NBA is predominantly black people. No, I have no issue with that whatsoever because I can't play basketball. But they shouldn't be forced to bring in me because they need to show this level of diversity. Are they discriminating because everybody on these basketball teams seem to be over 6 feet? So they must bring in people that are short. They must bring in people that are that represent our society. So we need a certain percentage of them that are disabled to play on this team, right? I know that sounds outlandish, and it is outlandish, but I bring up that point because it's exactly what we would be asking of these companies by saying we're forcing diversity upon you. What they should be looking for is the most qualified candidates. And if all of the most qualified candidates come out of India, so be it. If all of the most qualified candidates happen to be women, so be it. It comes down to the individual. We need to stop looking at this this collectivism mentality across the board. And I think that's my rant on that. Although there's so much more to talk about with this, because recently we just had Trump ban transgenders from joining the military. I'm going to step off my soapbox for a second. Alex, I'm going to give you the mic and the camera, and I'll let you spiel on this one first before I jump back on my soapbox and get loud.
All right.
What are your thoughts around a ban on transgender people in the military?
First of all, I don't see how it connects to what people do in the military. There are such a variety of roles that I don't really see that I don't see how a carte blanche banning of any group of people, self-selected or otherwise, would be beneficial to the military. Let the people who are recruiting and let the people who are commanders and this sort of thing, let them decide what kind of groups of people that they want under their command. Don't just ban all of them because, well, it might make someone feel uncomfortable or whatever. Now, the argument about we don't want to pay for their surgeries and stuff, I'm okay with that. In fact, I don't think that any elective surgery should be paid for through health insurance. And the reason I believe that is because the price drops significantly whenever you don't have to go through the government's heavily regulated health insurance mandates. For example, there's eye surgeries and other cosmetic surgeries now that you can receive that are thousands of dollars, and it's cheaper than getting a bone set in the emergency room. It's just insane to me that that the price of like a corrective eye surgery can fall dramatically. Why? Because the free market was allowed to work. It's a lot less. It's not regulated. Doesn't go through health insurance. There's transparency in the pricing and all of this sort of thing. I believe that as more people, are open about the fact that they are a transgendered individual and that's how they choose to live their life, that will become a cheaper price point. I think that the free market will provide that service and continue to, because these people feel very uncomfortable. They don't feel like their own skin reflects them.
And is there any physical limitation as far as them personally being able to perform the tasks in the military?
None that I'm aware of. Now, if you're referring to combat roles, we've spoken on this before when the female and male combat roles were changed and the regulations that apply to, like, I think we talked about when the SEALs changed their, like, women have different requirements than men, or you know what I mean? In my mind, a SEAL's a SEAL, right? A combat role is a combat role. You should not, because of physical differences, be given any leeway on a particular standard. In the military, there's a lot of this thinking that we have to, promote diversity by forcing certain groups to advance and leaving others behind. In my mind, it should be all about who's the best. And if there's a physical fitness standard that requires you to do 100 push-ups, That's the requirement. Not, well, 40 for women because they're better at crunches, so we'll require more of those. That doesn't make any sense to me. There's no real kinesiological science behind it. My brother and I have discussed it. He's a United States Marine. And he is a kinesiology student, and there's no real reason for why one would be a better test than another for aptitude in combat roles and this sort of thing.
Well, let me take you in a different direction. Yeah,
so that's, I don't see, I guess the long answer is no.
Okay. I want to take it in a different direction just because I think it's an interesting case study in that there was a person that was born a man and transitioned into being a woman, and she was a fighter in the UFC. And when fighting other women, she was demolishing them because she had some of the benefits that men have when they're born as far as increased bone density, increased muscle mass, faster recovery times, etc. There were some advantages there, right? So in that situation, the fact that she didn't disclose that her born gender, I don't really know exactly the PC thing. In fact, if you want to come at me because of it, if somebody gets mad at me, I totally accept the ramifications. But she didn't disclose that she was born male and then went in and could absolutely dominate all these women and was really beating them kind of senseless. Now, in your scenario, you were saying, well, if they can do the same thing, if the right. aptitude test is 100 push-ups, right, or you need to put a backpack on your back and hike 20 miles, and everybody can do it, who cares, right? Which I couldn't agree with more. I think that's absolutely fair. Is there any scenario where that stops being valid?
I think that I personally don't have an opinion, and I would encourage private groups like the UFC to make a decision that fits with their decision on fairness. And I think in sports in general, it's pretty widely accepted that because of the physiological differences between men and women, there's really no advantage to women playing on a men's team. There's no advantage to the other men, in other words. But there would be an advantage to having men play on a women's team. Now, I don't know why there would be an advantage, because that's not my forte. But there is a demonstrated physical advantage. It could be testosterone. I mean, there's so many different things. It could be muscle density, I believe, is another possibility.
Well, if you put the two of us on, if you put the two of us on a running team, I would accept a high level female athlete to help improve our average any day.
Oh, absolutely. But if you threw, Usain Bolt, right, the best of the men on a female team, it's clear that there's a statistically significant difference. I don't know why there's a difference, and I don't even know that the scientists have figured out why. But there is a statistically significant difference. And so if a group wanted to use that as a reason, it's a similar thing for why heavyweights don't fight featherweights and this sort of thing. You don't see that because it wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be entertaining.
I love that you brought it to something that wasn't about gender.
Well,
right?
Sure. Regardless of what it is, there's obviously a statistically significant difference between fighters in those different classes. And that's where they came up with what the weight ranges are and this sort of thing. That's where that came from. And just like you would find a statistically significant difference between women and men, I assume, for UFC fights or anything, then you could use that as a reason. But when it comes to a public service job, I don't think that you should even consider male, female, race, any of that. In fact, I think that it's the government. Sorry, I'm stealing your thunder here. But
no,
I think it's the government that has perpetuated the myth of race. Race does not exist. There's no such thing. It's skin color. People are being biased based on skin color. There's absolutely nothing to do. There's no genetic differences between the groups that are scientifically and statistically significant. Time and again, they find that the variations between groups of the same type of genetics is greater than the total variation between all members of supposed different groups. So in other words, there's more diversity between two supposed black people than between black and white people, supposedly. On an average, statistically speaking, there's really only one key difference, which is where did your ancestors live relative to the equator? To me, again, that's... it's the government and it's people who insist on wanting all this demographic information. Colleges, schools are really bad. They force you to always put yourself into this box. Oh, well, I'm a white male and I'm 6 foot and I'm a fatty, so I get to do these things, right? That's the thinking, right, that people push down your throat. And I fully reject any attempt to put me into a box and limit what I can do based on that box. If you want to label me as what I am and we use words to describe different people, that's fine. But don't tell me that because of those arbitrary physical characteristics, I'm less or more qualified automatically for something else, right? There is a merit-based test, even if it's the job itself, for determining someone's aptitude. And there's no reason to use a metric that's got no basis, like male or female. There's obviously something really that's there that is a metric like bone density, muscle density, et cetera, that they can use to discriminate if they don't want to use gender, right? So, and again, they're a private group. They can discriminate however they want. I'm totally good with that. You don't want to bake the cake? Fine. I don't give a shit. I'm not going to support a racist business. If I find out someone doesn't serve black people, guess what? They just became my favorite Yelp star disaster. I'm going to tell all my friends and everyone I know not to shop and eat there, and we're going to destroy them through the free market. And I'm going to do it in a week and put pressure on that business and put them out of business almost immediately, rather than take them to court and worry about the government and have to pass a series of laws. I mean, there's a reason we say act of Congress, right, when it's a hard task. Let's not put ourselves through that to put dumb and racist and sexist people out of business. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Fuck them, you know?
I love it. I think you're absolutely right. Another area that this came up with recently that I was just reviewing was this gentleman who claimed that he was black in order to get into college. So the college admittance basically said that, you know what, we want people that are not white in our colleges, specifically like Stanford and Harvard and some of these Ivy League schools. In reading about this and learning more about this, I found out that LA Times reported on a study done by Princeton University, and it claims that on the SATs, African Americans receive a bonus of 230 extra points based off of their race. Hispanics receive a bonus of 185 points, and Asians are penalized 50 points based off of race, which, forgive me, it's been a long time, but I don't even remember writing down the race on your SATs. Anyways, this person that claimed that he was black is an Indian man, and his job is to help people get into colleges. So he claimed to be, he joined a black group, a group of black individuals. I don't know what the club was about. And then with that, used that on his application and was accepted. And he mentioned many, many times over, and he's written a book about this, how Asians are actually the most discriminated against within the university system.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes absolutely no sense. Now, if it's a private organization, again, you can discriminate. That's a mildly confusing point within the libertarian philosophy. It's a really, really important one, because what it does is it means that you are allowing other people to have freedom, even if you don't agree with the freedom that you're letting them have. So discrimination is permitted because it has to be, because ultimately I probably discriminate. I try not to. I certainly try not to have my biases, but let's be honest, I have my biases. This is not, what is it? What's the Fox News thing? Fair and biased, or fair and unbiased, or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
It's biased.
Well, faux news.
Yeah. So we're certainly biased, but this is an area where the Libertarian Party really, really lines up incredibly well with Democrats. And oftentimes we always see ourselves connected with the Republicans. We see ourselves running on a Republican ticket, and we often miss the opportunity to connect with others that are not Republicans, that are much more liberal in their beliefs. And this is a great example of, you know what, we want real transparency, real freedom, and we want real fairness.
Yeah.
As much as we can have. And the way to do that is by identifying a person as an individual, not as a collection of other individuals.
No, I couldn't agree more. I think that the only thing that I would say is that, to clarify, is that, you know, private universities, private colleges, they can discriminate all they want. If they want to force people to apply and put down whether they're black or white or whatever, and they want to use that to discriminate and give themselves the Disney, you know, the perfect Disney movie look, that's fine. But when it's a public university, I think that they shouldn't even collect the data at all. I think that, you know, and I, whenever I hear, it's funny, right? And I'll say this as a white person, but whenever I hear other white people talk about affirmative action, I always get this, like, we're discriminated against, but then they're happy to discriminate against Asians and foreign nationals that score better and are more qualified to go to college. They're like, well, what about my, you know, those Asians, we shouldn't let them in and they shouldn't get to go. I find it interesting. I'll just leave you with that. That the group that claims to be most discriminated against for college is actually not, and they themselves enjoy discriminating against Asians, which are, as you say, the most discriminated against group when it comes to college admissions. And again, private university, you can discriminate however you want, and I'm not going to support a university by going there or donating to them if they are discriminatory. But like, let those racist universities come out of the woodwork so we know where they are. They exist, right? We know that they exist. We just don't know about it. I'd love for them to come out of the woodwork so we can all not go there.
Yeah, we'd make it easier. I made a post online a little while ago, and the response was, aren't you a straight white male? And
well, are you?
Well, I am. I am. I mean, you know, straight's a pretty fluid term, but
Oh boy.
But that was the only thing that they replied on this post, and it was actually a post about equality. That's what we were talking about. We were talking about equality, and they responded with that, and I was like, wait, why was that even mentioned? Like, what does that have anything to do with this?
See, I can understand where someone might come from with a comment like that, and the reason is because, as a member of the gay community, I know how frustrating it is, even for my straight allies, to speak about what it's like to be gay when they don't have any idea what it's like to grow up where your sexuality is used as the number one way to put someone down. You are basically treated less than dirt. There was no political home for you except the Libertarian Party. Even popular candidates like Obama and Clinton and everybody, even they were firmly against gay marriage. They hated the LGBT community. And so it's difficult for me to describe what 4,000 years of bigotry and hatred looks like against gay people. When you have the Matthew Shepherds that are being killed and lynched and encouraged to commit suicide on the basis of their sexuality, and that's happening regularly and routinely in our society, even today, I find it very frustrating when somebody tries to talk about, well, but it's all better now because you can get married. That really frustrates the fuck out of me. And I can imagine that a black person who heard, well, but we passed the Civil Rights Act.
Well, that wasn't what my post was.
No, I'm not saying that's what you said. I'm just saying that I can sympathize and empathize with the frustration of someone who doesn't realize that it's still just as bad as it was. All we did was we made it illegal for employers to openly discriminate based on skin color, but people still routinely do it. And it's because we as a society have decided that we don't need to work or focus on this. And I want you to know that the Libertarian Party does think this is an important issue.
Absolutely. But my point in saying this is you can swing the pendulum too far, right? So in saying, hey, I've had real struggles that you haven't ever experienced. There's no way you physically could because the color of your skin is different or your sexual identity is different. You're right. You have had real struggles. And you have absolutely no right to judge me on mine. And so it is very possible to swing that pendulum the completely opposite way and forget that you might be discriminating against somebody else just because you decide, well, you're a person of privilege. Like, nobody knows what a person's gone through or what privilege they've received, and it becomes very, very dangerous to start classifying people into these groups. So it's really a better solution to simply look at every single person as an individual, take their struggles and their wins as their own individual accomplishments and obstacles, and stop viewing people as a group of people, saying, well, you're a straight white male, and straight white men you know, he's one of those is currently the president, so you must have all of this power and privilege. Well, that's like saying that all black males were doing great a couple of months ago when Obama was president. Like, it's just not the case. You can't classify every single person based off of one little trait that you see on the outside. It's just not, it's not a fair or even appropriate.
Right. Who knows what real metrics are important, but, you know, again, I encourage people to not discriminate and to actively work to overcome their biases and to treat people like people.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think that's what you're saying here, right?
Yeah, I think maybe our society has gotten to a point of, I hate to say it, but this victim mentality of every single group, I can even claim my own, and as I kind of just did, every single group is saying, well, I'm the one really being victimized.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I should be the one that's incentivized, you know? Maybe we should have a better chance of getting into colleges. Maybe we should be higher, a greater representation of Google's employment. Maybe I should be put on the NBA.
You know what? You know who I think really discussed this issue well was the last season of South Park.
Oh, really?
They really, I think, took a stab with the Whole Foods and the gentrification and this sort of thing. On the surface, it seems like, well, are they becoming PC or, you know, what a PC principle and all this? But I think that they were taking a very ironic look at, you know, the idea of victimhood and what it means and then that gentrification is basically, it doesn't solve the issue, right? You go to a poor neighborhood and you put up a nice brand new building or something, it doesn't actually fix the underlying societal problems. All it does is it makes you feel, right, it makes the rest of us, right, that aren't struggling and homeless feel better because now we can look at something that's pretty. Yay, we fixed the downtown area of Las Vegas. Well, did we really? I mean, we spent a lot of money there for sure. We're revitalizing it. And that's all true. But have we really solved the issue? Because if you walk just one block further than the container park, it is bad.
Yeah, ask the homeless guy if he fixed the problems.
Yeah, and so I would like to wonder, you know, are we in our communities really solving these problems using government subsidies and using and even large businesses that are coming in and trying to revitalize areas? I mean, in some ways, they're really just taking advantage of cheap real estate, and they're sort of painting over the blood spatters on the wall of what we're doing as a society to hurt the people around us. And again, I'm not saying that we have to, like, on a societal level, like, you know, whip ourselves twice a day for being white. I'm not suggesting any of that. I think that the entire idea of reparations is the pendulum too far. But we do need to be knowledgeable about the fact that there is discrimination and there is bias, and we need to work on ourselves to overcome it, and we need to encourage the people that we freely associate with to not be an asshole. Don't judge someone. If they're transgender, cool. If they're gay, cool. If they're black, cool. If they're white, if they're straight white male, you know, don't discriminate against them either, based on something that's completely arbitrary.
And how many books do we need to have? How many Bibles do you have to read to realize you shouldn't be a dick?
Right. exactly. I mean, whether you're the Tao Te Ching or you're reading the Bible, I mean, there's really no good reason to discriminate. I guess to leave you with that, people are people. Treat people like individuals. Be nice, especially if you're a libertarian. There's so few libertarians that are out there being nice. And I think that one of the biggest ways we can grow the party, particularly on social media, is by being nice to people and treating them like the individuals that you care about, not the enemy that you're going to vilify and you're going to make memes of and this sort of thing. It's fun to do that, but come on, let's remember that we're trying to reach out to these communities and making an endless supply of Bernie Sanders memes, though entertaining, doesn't really further the cause of liberty. These are people who, in a lot of ways, do share our values. They just don't share our economics. And maybe that's someone that we can teach about Rothbard, and we can bring that level of economics forward, and we can talk about Austrian economics and how the free market has made us a much richer state and society. And that it's through the efforts of the free market that our poor are fat in America. Let's be honest, right? And private charity. I heard someone earlier this week railing against private charity for that same reason. Huh. But again, treat people kindly. I mean, respectful discourse. That's got to be the basis of solving whatever problems we want to solve in society, it's got to start with respecting other people enough to treat them well.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna leave it at that. Tune in next week if you want to see us whip ourselves out of penance. and until then, make it all about freedom.
This show is brought to you by the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Music is provided by T. Sims. Please support the show by subscribing, sharing it with friends, and leaving a positive review on iTunes. For more information or to learn how to get involved, visit lpnevada.org. Thank you for listening.